It was an unknown wilderness. It wasn't long before they went into the wide valleys of Kentucky through the Cumberland Gap.
Welcome to this edition of Old Kentucky Tales, the very first edition, the only podcast that solemnly swears that none of its participants have fought in a duel with deadly weapons within this state or out of it. I am your host, Brent Taylor, Assistant Professor of History at West Kentucky Community and Technical College. And with me is the man who puts the co in communication and in co-host. He is an Associate Professor of Communication at West Kentucky Community and Technical College, Jason Donner.
Thank you. Thanks, Brent. That was very well put.
In this episode of Old Kentucky Tales, we will look at fires past and present in our yesterday's news segment. And for our main event, we will examine home cooking and home remedies at the turn of the 20th century. And along the way, don't forget to support the fake history sponsors who support Old Kentucky Tales. So, in yesterday's news, we saw recently the Harper's Ham fire. It was a tragic event. The employees, we didn't know how they were going to go on with their lives. We didn't know what kind of work they were going to have to do. But really, with that one, we were really lucky. It happened overnight. No one was seriously hurt that I'm aware of. And it got me thinking about, in the 19th century, we had fires that destroyed whole cities. We nearly lost San Francisco. We nearly lost Chicago.
Right.
Louisville had major fires. And in particular, we had this fire in 1890 at a Standard Oil refinery.
So this is back in the past. What year did this happen, Brent?
1890. So that's in the heart of the Gilded Age. We've got big business. What we don't have is safety regulations. And we don't have...
Right, because things just happened back then. They had to find out what was going wrong. Then they came up with the safety regulations. Right?
Absolutely. OSHA is nowhere on the scene.
Exactly.
The thing just explodes.
It just happens.
And we've got a huge fire. We've got a newspaper report here that tells us, if we look at the headlines, they tell you a whole lot of the story by themselves, just to get you to read the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. 5 acres of flames. That's a big fire. It's kind of like a subdivision is on fire. Monster oil tank blown to pieces, and the contents take fire. That's old-timey language right there, take fire.
Yeah.
Magnificent but awful sight when seen from a safe distance.
Isn't that hilarious? They would never put that in an advertisement, in a heading.
Absolutely
it was magnificent.
Not. Absolutely
this is not.
Not
a good story. This is it's not funny.
Okay. Right, and when they say that, they're meaning it as in like, awesome, not in the good sense, but in the sense that there's awe.
Awesomeness to
it. Right. But absolutely, today it would be too insensitive.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
You couldn't do it. You just couldn't do it. Then it goes on to report, of course, frightful death and injuries of several boys and young men. So the boys thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts on
well,
that?
Well, I'm wondering why they're working there in the first place.
Right. This is
I see 12 years old. I see 14 years old.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is the 19th century. Child labor is standard operating procedure at a big company like Standard Oil. We have worked out in the fields with little children prior to this. We're moving into the industrial setting in this sense. And so you just work. It's what you do. If
and
you
maybe,
need money, you work.
Right. People were comfortable with that at home in the farm. The kids would work, whatever, they stopped going to school.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
they never
had
went to
work.
School.
But a little bit different when you move into the city and you have little kids working in this kind of situation.
That's exactly right. Child labor is normal. And you picked it up perfectly when you were looking at the article. You saw here age 12, age 14, age 12. And these are big manual labor kinds of jobs. These are man's jobs, but the children are working there.
Yeah, this is the newspaper article, right?
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
This is it. If you look at the wording on some of these, it's just interesting how things were put back then on the men or the kids. Literally roasted alive and cannot live. One way they put it, burned almost to a crisp and will die.
Yeah. They wanted the detail. The
changes in just reporting the news have changed.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I guess you could say they were more grizzled back then.
Yeah.
It was about the detail of it. They wanted to tell you, is this person alive? What happened to them? And we don't worry about the sensitivity in 1890.
Yeah, they just put it the way they see it.
That's exactly right.
Frightfully burned.
Yep, that's language rough. Has changed a little since the 19th century also. And I think, Jason, we've got to pay some bills. Our sponsor for this part of the program is DuPont Red Cross Dynamite. They're going to have a free demonstration, farming with dynamite. Come and learn the modern, quick, cheap, and safe way to use the giant force of dynamite to remove stumps and boulders, plant trees, dig ditches, break up subsoils, and make old farms produce big crops. So at the John Young, known as the Watt Major Farm, 2 miles from town, October 2nd and 3rd, Red Cross Dynamite. You can see the demonstration.
Well, I'd probably go see a dynamite demonstration of them just blasting everything out of that field.
I would absolutely want to do that. That presses the man button. If you say that you're going to take dynamite and blow a tree stump out of the ground.
Can you just buy dynamite?
Oh, 19th century? Absolutely.
Dynamite's just out there for you.
It's a product. You go to the farm store. You get the seed. Mm-hmm. You pick up a shovel. And here's the dynamite. So this is not an industry advertisement. Yeah. This is in the newspaper.
Yeah, yeah. They come out and watch, and then there's probably dynamite for sale right there.
Absolutely, because they want to sell you on the idea that if you need to dig a ditch, why would you ever use a shovel?
Yeah.
You can use dynamite.
Well, that actually does sound like a good idea. I mean, you have huge stumps, and barring the complete danger of it and being able to run very quickly, I mean, that's going to prevent you from having to dig a lot with stumps.
It's a shortcut. I've taken out a stump before with an axe.
You wanted some dynamite.
Maybe.
Depends on the neighborhood you're in.
Local laws might prohibit it, don't try that at home, folks. But please do support DuPont Red Cross Dynamite.
See, I actually saw this depicted in a movie one time. I think it was a Kenny Rogers movie. And the whole movie, now I know this is true, They dug on this stump, and it finally, he just brought some dynamite and just blasted it out of there. So this, like, kind of makes sense to me, but I'm glad that people can't just, you know, drop by the hardware store and pick up a few sticks.
That's another difference between then and now. So we're ready for our main event, and the main event is home cooking and home remedies.
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
Late 19th, early 20th century, so right at the turn of the 20th century. And the source that we get the recipes from here, this is the Bluegrass Cookbook. And I thought we might want to take a little walk through what it's like to cook old school here in Kentucky. So we're going to make some Kentucky burgoo. Going to get all your cooking stuff ready. And here are the ingredients for Kentucky burgoo.
What is this, like a stew? Is this what's going to happen?
Yes, this is a very famous Kentucky-specific dish.
Yeah, I've heard that phrase, burgoo.
Absolutely right. If you haven't had it before, it's kind of like a beef stew, a vegetable beef stew, and you throw a whole lot of stuff in there.
Right, just whatever's available there.
Exactly, and here in this case, if we're following the recipe, you need meat, 6 squirrels, 6 birds.
Just whatever bird.
It doesn't specify the recipe
to bring down. Okay.
I guess you're out there with the shotgun and you caught a few. Here we go.
Yeah.
So wild game is part of it. 1.5 gallons water. Teacup of pearl barley. Quart of tomatoes. 1 quart of corn. 1 quart of oysters. 1 pint of sweet cream. 1/4 pound of butter. 2 tablespoons of flour, and then season to taste.
Season to taste, yeah. Like, and all that wouldn't already be a feast.
You need some salt. You need some pepper. Probably in Kentucky, there's only 5 spices, right? Do you ever venture out beyond the 5th spice?
Oh, I don't know. What are those spices?
I'd say for me, salt, pepper.
A1, is that one of them?
Maybe not. Seasoned salt.
Oh, you're talking
chili powder.
Okay. I got
maybe
you.
There's
yeah,
only
the
four.
Normals. All right. Well, you got to bring that flavor out of that squirrel somehow.
I think that may be the case. That may be the case. So what we do is we're going to boil the squirrels and the birds in the water till tender.
Oh, my.
And then we remove all the bones. So you notice that, right? We remove the bones after we boil it.
Yeah.
Because you got to soften it up a little bit.
Then bones are hard. Bones tend to be hard.
Well, right. And it's going to make the removal much easier. Mm-hmm. So vegetables, cook slowly for 1 hour. It's a big stew. We're going to have it in a big pot. It can serve a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that's important. We serve it hot. Now, after that, you've got to have something sweet. And we have the Old Virginia Christmas cake. So with the Old Virginia Christmas cake, all you need for that is 12 eggs, 1 pound of flour, 1 pound of sugar, 1 pound of butter, nutmeg.
This sounds normal, though. This sounds like a cake.
12 eggs, though?
Well, it's a big cake.
It is a big cake. That's important. We feed
it's
a lot of people.
It's got to last all winter. And there are like 14 people in the house.
That's it. 14 people in the house. We've got 12 kids. Very common at the turn of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
I know people today, they claim that they have 100 first cousins. They come out of maybe the generation after this. And
yeah.
Their families are still large.
Right.
Absolutely. So you need it to be large.
Yeah.
It's we have social events too. 19th century social events are very big. We get together. We don't sit in a room together with a machine.
Right.
And look down at it the entire time. We get together, we talk.
Well, my grandmother actually had 11. Now, that's true. That was big. They were farming people. And, you know, not everybody survived, which is a fact.
Oh, yeah.
That's part of having so many kids, for real.
Well, we forget about that. So many times, you might have 10 kids, 6 survive, 8 survive.
Mm-hmm.
Really crazy today, but sometimes back then, you might have a child, you name the child passes away, you have the next child, go ahead and name it the same name.
Is that right?
Yeah, and see, today you would never in a million years do that because you would take away the identity.
It would, yes. Uh-huh.
But they had a lot more death in their lives back then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Then they would actually be, I'm going to assume, just a little bit more used to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we call it grizzled today, but mm-hmm. Life goes on, and it was part of the process at that point.
Now, what about these 3 pounds of raisins?
So, teaspoon each of mace and cinnamon, 3 pounds of raisins,
mm-hmm.
1/2 pound of citron, that's kind of like an orange, it's
okay.
A citrus fruit, 1/2 pound of cream nuts and almonds each. So 1 pound of cream nuts.
Yeah.
And also 1 pound of almonds.
This is like a 50-pound cake.
It's going to be big. We've got to feed the masses. 1/2 pint of brandy. Because if there's anything you need in cooking back then,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of eggs, alcohol,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of time
mm-hmm.
to prepare it all.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And a stomach that could just eat a rock.
I tell you what, they ate it big. You know, they didn't have the low carb thing. So
it says flavor with acid when you're ready to serve.
Yeah, I am not 100% sure what kind of acid that is.
What do they mean by acid?
Yeah. And
maybe
the
it's antacid. That would make a hell of a lot of more sense. Oh no.
Yeah. So 1/2 teaspoon of soda. In a small cup of vinegar, put in last. It's like we're baking a volcano.
Yeah.
Right? And we bake for 3 or 4 hours. You got to make that thing come out okay there in the middle. Now.
What else you got?
If it's the Christmas season.
You got eggnog.
You've got to have eggnog.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't buy it in a carton. You make it yourself. Everything back then, we make it ourselves. It's all from scratch. We don't have a lot of prepared foods.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 gallon of cream, nice and rich, 24 eggs, yolks only, 26 tablespoons of sugar, which I wonder why we don't have cup as a measurement there.
Yeah, yeah. And why is everything made in this fashion? But I guess they're making maybe not a family, but like a party size.
Oh, yeah, because it's for a social gathering. You're not going to drink this alone.
And
at least we
like
hope you won't.
Eggnog and that thing was more of the tradition. I mean, people kind of still carry it on, but I don't know if families are, you know, it's a really big emphasis on it, it seems like, back then. You know,
it was really
part of the tradition, whereas now, you know, people will get some
at Christmas time.
It
or leave it today. Right. Yeah, but then, the key ingredients, of course, 8 wine glasses of rum, 10 wine glasses of brandy, and 8 wine glasses of whiskey. That'll finish off your recipe there.
Yeah.
Very fine eggnog.
That's quite a bit of alcohol.
I think it, then again, I guess we're, it's going to be big. You're serving a lot of people.
What are they normally, what are we putting in eggnog normally? Is it rum? Is it whiskey? It's whiskey, right?
I'm not even sure what the
I mean, that's a, I think that's what they typically add to it.
Right. But here we've got, you don't have to choose. You just pick all three. Rum, brandy, whiskey. Absolutely. Now, that is
well, apparently
the,
everything was made giant size in that day.
Sure. Giant families, giant mm-hmm. meals.
And it would actually save money, I guess, if you're going to do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess.
Well, these are things that, I don't know. I don't know about oysters, but people have a lot of this, you know, this is just in their house.
Right. Now,
or
this
comes
be,
off the oh,
maybe
farm.
Yeah, tomatoes, corn. You want to find ways to use that if you've been farming it out there. Absolutely. So that's what we make. So now we're ready for some home remedies. We've done the home cooking. We didn't go to the doctor a lot. Medicine, in fact, was not quite where it is today. We can do some things that are really amazing in the 19th mm-hmm. century with medicine. We do other things that we wonder why we're doing them. A lot of people never go to the doctor back then. Even today, that's true. A lot of people don't go to the doctor. But back then, you might just treat this stuff at home.
Well, there may not be a doctor around.
Oh, that's 100% true. It just depends on where you are. And so you got to have these things. What do you do when something goes wrong? They've got beliefs, though, about these things that today we would find a little bit less than scientific.
Mm-hmm.
It's things like...
Well, what are they?
You may remove birthmarks by rubbing them with the hand of a corpse.
That's going to be a tough sell.
I think so. Even if I'm in the 19th century, I might question that one. I might say, I don't know if I really want the corpse hand mm-hmm. rubbing my birthmark.
Well, maybe the baby won't know the difference.
Maybe
that's what
it.
I'm picturing. I'm picturing a corpse hand
we've got
rubbed
plenty
on
of...
a baby birthmark.
Yes, and
we've
got plenty
of
ladies
work for adults as well.
It doesn't say. It's not age specific. Now, this one you still hear, rub a plantain leaf on a bee sting.
Really?
Yeah, and so you hear about various kinds of leaves that you're supposed to put on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's a, more like a...
Supposed to be an ailment.
Possible home remedy, sure.
Right. To stop the flow of blood from a cut, use soot from the chimney.
Mm-hmm.
That is particular to Southern Kentucky.
Southern Kentucky.
Right.
I think that would stop it, too. That makes sense.
Sure. You want to do some preventative measures. We bathe a child in greasy dishwater to avert illness.
Makes perfect sense.
Maybe the bathing, but I don't know about the greasy part.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. Now, this one's sure fire to work. I think you could even try it today. As a cure for chickenpox, the victim may sit in the hen house for an hour.
Chickenpox doesn't have anything to do with chickens, does it?
I don't believe so.
That's like a superstition, maybe.
Maybe like the swine flu. Remember the swine flu that we had?
Yeah.
I'm not sure why, but apparently you got to become one with the chickens in order to make this work. My favorite one might be, though, croup treated with skunk oil. Taken internally and applied externally. Double whammy.
Right, right. Uh-huh. You want to start both sides, just work your way in, wherever the croup may be.
And pretty soon, no more coughing.
So what's skunk oil? Please tell me that's not from a skunk.
I've got to say that's probably the skunk.
Okay.
That's probably the skunk.
Well, you
right
want to use every part of the skunk.
Well, yeah, you've got to take care of nature. That's true. And one more. You know you could roll the baby in sulfur and lard for itch. Baby's itching, sulfur and lard, all of a sudden relief.
Yeah, the baby has new problems now.
That might be the case. And we've got a problem. We've got to pay more bills.
Yeah, okay.
So our sponsor in this half of the program is the new Slim Silhouette GE Console TV, just over 15 inches from front to back. Svelte, you'll never even see it in the room. Giant 332 square inch picture. No money down. You can put this on payments. $275 per week. Come down to Settles Sales and Service on Chenoweth Run Road.
So when is this? What would this have been? Because I'm thinking like it's a TV. What is this like the?
This is 1958.
58 even.
Yeah.
Okay.
Television. The decade of television is the 1950s.
Right.
So you want to run out and buy one. You absolutely want to run out and run and get that today.
Yeah, that's really like that would be a big deal. Here's one thing I want to say. Easy chair remote tuning at no extra cost.
No extra cost.
Even back then, though, they were thinking about,
oh yeah,
don't get up and change the channel.
Because if you're like me, you were the remote for your parents. They said,
oh, yeah, that's
put it
I...
on channel 7.
Yep.
You put it on channel 7.
Yes.
Put it on channel 14.
Jace,
you put it on
turn it up a little bit.
Channel 14. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So, final thoughts segment. What's your biggest takeaway from home cooking and home remedies?
Probably the squirrels. Probably the squirrels. I don't know what a squirrel tastes like, but I think I'd feel pretty bad about that squirrel.
People always say it tastes like chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You fry it up. It has little wings, kind of like you're over there at B-Dubs, and you're supposed to have it down the hatch.
Right. Yeah. And the oysters, though, I don't get that. Where are they coming by the oysters?
I suppose that's going to be a delicacy thing at that point. It's turn of the 20th century. We're pretty advanced.
Pretty fancy back then.
I would think so, too. I wouldn't want it in my soup, but that's just personal preference. And there you have it.
Is that it, Brett?
That's it.
Well, that was a lot of fun. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Home cooking and home remedies. But special thanks to our sound engineer, Todd Birdsong, the Paducah School of Art and Design, and WKMS. And the rest is history.